Hey Jay, where are you at?
I'm here in my basement. Where are you at?
I'm downstairs as well.
Well, right on.
Although I'm a couple thousand miles away in New
Yeah,
Orleans.
Yeah, you know, something about these conversations that we have, perhaps because of the roots of our relationship, really lead me to always meet you here in this basement, even though, like you say, we're not really in the same space.
Well, I was just trying to get as far away as possible from Christy and the girl who are slumbering peacefully, you know, on the upper floor.
Yeah, you know, there's that also. I'm totally with you on that.
Now, I thought I had suggested that at the nightcap we might want to have a hot toddy. And I suggested that because a few nights ago when I thought we were going to do this, well, it was getting quite cold, quite chilly here in New Orleans. In fact, it's almost freezing.
Whoa, that's crazy.
Yeah, but not quite. So anyway, do you want to make a hot toddy?
Well, I already did. I jumped the gun, as it were, because you know, I don't have like a pot of hot water here in the basement. So,
granted, neither do I. I do have a pot of hot water here because I boiled it upstairs just before I called you.
Wow, that's, you have like planning skills and stuff.
Yeah, so I'm going to, explain to me how you made your hot toddy.
Well, I grabbed some bourbon out of the liquor cabinet and took it over into the kitchen and set it on the counter and turned on the water and started boiling it. And then I got distracted because I decided to make some popcorn. So I made some popcorn.
You sent me some popcorn. I wasn't sure if it was for Christmas or my birthday, but I got it.
Oh, yes. It was for both.
I have not popped it yet.
Well,
I'm certainly looking forward to it.
We're in for a treat. We get that popcorn from the Amish, you know, over the Internet, no less.
Yeah, the Internet Amish. What I was wondering about was, so you made a bourbon toddy. What I was wondering about was, did you sugar and lemon juice then and the hot water or what?
Oh, yeah. I put some honey and some lemon juice and some bourbon in there. And then like half of an ice cube because it was so hot that I was afraid that if I got over anxious because of the bourbon and tried to drink it, I would burn myself and that would not be good.
That's right. You have an aversion to hot.
Right.
That's very strange. So I'm making mine with the some brandy here. I've come to the conclusion, and I'm ready to pronounce to the world, that I think I love brandy more than whiskey.
Wow. So you're insane.
Yeah, basically.
Wait.
But it's actually warmed up since I came up with this brilliant idea. And it's really not as chilly as it was. Actually, not only was it chilly here, but I had a cold, and so I was drinking, you know, a hot toddy with TheraFlu.
Mm-hmm.
Give it that lemon flavor.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But now I'm feeling much better, and it's warmed up a little.
Right on. Well, we were, I actually went ice fishing today, so a hot toddy is certainly a great thing for me to drink on a day like today.
It's not quite as hot as I hoped.
What's that?
I'm not putting an ice cube in mine, but it's still not quite as hot as I hoped.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. We didn't catch anything.
With your ice fishing?
Are you still there?
Yes. When you're ice fishing, you can catch anything.
What was that?
You are having trouble hearing me again, aren't you?
Well, it sounds like there are mice walking over your head.
All right. I was worried that that might happen. You know, this. Can you hear me better now?
Yeah.
Hey, Jay.
Yeah. Hello? I cannot hear a thing now.
Hey, Jay. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
You can hear me?
Yeah.
Did you hear me
you
before?
You need to get rid of that cheap-ass headset and use a normal telephone like the rest of us.
I yanked it out, and you still couldn't hear me.
Well, now that's just fucked up.
So now I switched to speakerphone.
Aha.
So I don't
know.
Well,
I can hear you now.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So is this popcorn, by the way. You know, you've become something of a connoisseur of fine liquors, it sounds like, in the time since we parted ways and you moved to New Orleans and I moved to Montana. I've become a connoisseur of fine popcorn. You know, you can only get this kind of popcorn, at least that I've found it, from the Amish. I don't know what the deal is. Maybe they, like, have a secret seed that they plant.
So that it was holeless.
Yeah, it's holeless. So, like, nothing sticks in your teeth. It's awesome.
That's a fun word to say.
Yeah.
Holeless.
Yeah. It was, or hole free, as they said back in 2003.
It has no hole.
Right. Yeah.
Well, hey, are you working tomorrow?
Yes, I am. Yeah. I work for a newspaper that doesn't care about any holidays except for the ones where people would revolt if they had to work. Unfortunately, in this culture, in super uber white Montana, people don't revolt because they have to work on Martin Luther King Day, unfortunately.
Yes, which is, we're recording this on the, yes, so tomorrow is Martin Luther King Day, and then the day after that is Inauguration Day.
Right, exactly.
The first African-American is going to be inaugurated as president of the United States. So, of course, I work at a historically black college. So not only do I have Martin Luther King Day off, but we also have Inauguration Day off.
You asshole.
Isn't that wild?
Man, that's awesome.
They are opening campus up. I mean, they are having a party.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
So it's actually been a very fun time, you know, to be working there, because people are pretty upbeat.
Yeah, I can imagine. Despite the fact that, I mean, like, are you all still slogging through like 3 feet of mud everywhere? Or
on, you know that's not true.
Oh, well.
Yeah, the campus was, of course, submerged under quite a bit of water for a number of weeks. And the really amazing thing was that we reopened so quickly after just, I mean, you know, the flood happened right there at the end of August, beginning of September. And we actually reopened on my birthday, January 17th, it was 2006. So here it is 3 years later. But what I was wondering was, excuse me, if you don't mind me asking, did you vote for Obama yourself?
Yeah.
So did I.
Yeah. Well, see, I mean, one of the most amazing things about this is that, like, so rarely do I even vote for somebody who gets elected, that it's kind of something to celebrate on a personal level just in that regard.
Even though all of Montana's electoral college votes went to John McCain, correct?
I think that's true, yeah.
Yeah, and same in Louisiana. Louisiana's electoral votes went to John McCain, which is really a travesty. You know, what happened to Louisiana under the Bush administration. Well, anyway.
Yeah.
But what the real thing that I wanted to get to was, you probably remember way back when we first started making that TV show Rocks and Bloomington, we did that episode, Congrats to Clinton, where we kind of predicted the outcome of that election. We videotaped it before the election took place, but it was going to air just after. And so we went out and pretended like we knew that Clinton had won. And, of course, he did. But more importantly, or more germane, it seemed like to me at that time, I really kind of felt like, you know, kind of a certain sense of optimism at the time that once he actually got into office, it quickly dissolved into
right.
nothing. And I was quite disappointed with the Clinton administration. And in fact, it was that disappointment that led me to vow that I would never again vote for a Democrat or a Republican, for that matter, for president. And and yet here it is, a few years later, a Bush administration later, and and I found myself, although I'm a registered Green, I found myself crossing party lines to vote for a Democrat after all. And again, there's that sense of kind of optimism, but I'm very cautious this time because I guess I don't want to get burned again.
Yeah. Well, guaranteed, you will. Just in the sense that, you know, I think, unfortunately, it's easy to forget when the party that you find yourself most closely aligned with, you know, at least on the national level of the two major parties, when that party finally gets what they want in terms of seats in office and whatnot, it's easy to forget that they're still controlled by other forces besides ideals.
I was just wondering, though, if you could relate to my sense of optimism, but cautious.
Oh, yeah.
Optimism. And
much as anything, I just am, I tell you what I have settled on, and I'm actually quite pleased with this. It's actually going to be something that I feel I can not only be optimistic about, but that will come true in this administration, which is that I will be able to listen to my president, and if I ignore what's actually happening, what policies are actually getting passed, what bills are getting through the House, what money is going to special interests and whatnot, if I ignore all that and just listen to the president, I'm confident that he will speak more eloquently and with a better command of the English language than his predecessor. And that's something I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, you know, somebody pointed out that Obama's race, we were also so fixated on his race that it distracted us from the fact that he's an intellectual, which if we had realized that, we never would have elected him, you know, because Americans are notoriously anti-intellectual.
Right. At least in this era.
Yeah, I think it has gone, it's got a long history of anti-intellectualism in this country. But anyway, the thing is that it does kind of seem that the Obama administration is shaping up to be, a repeat in many ways of the Clinton administration regarding the way he's kind of stocked his cabinet and so forth. And so I guess I am taking it all with a grain of salt.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, I guess it's hard for me at this point in my life to dare to be optimistic about what could be possible, even if Obama was the second coming of Christ or Martin Luther King or Gandhi or all three wrapped up, because ultimately, you know, the whole system that we live in is sort of stacked against one person having too much power. And, you know, that's generally a good thing. When you really like that person, sometimes you're more inclined to think, oh, well, we should give him extra powers, you know, superpowers, as it were, or, Patriot Act powers or whatever. But, I think in the long run, it's probably best that he doesn't have those powers. And so we've got this Congress that is, by and large, still just like any other Congress, it's, you know, full of people who owe a lot of favors to people with money.
Yes.
That's my take on it. So I'm hardly a political philosopher, and I shouldn't even be talking.
I don't know how to respond to that.
Well, what are you going to be doing on Tuesday for the inauguration?
Well, I've had this problem with our car that it won't start. It's a Saturn, and it just has this random, semi-random thing. It seems to be associated with cold weather warnings,
mm-hmm.
where it just won't start up. I mean, no crank, not a sound that's made when you
mm-hmm.
turn the key. But there is, you have electricity. You can listen to the radio, run the air conditioning, you know, zoom the windows up and down. But it won't, the engine, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Then you wait 10 minutes and it starts up fine.
Uh-huh.
Now, I believe that this may be, well, it's, I scoured the internet for information, and it seems that this is a problem that a lot of people have with certain types of cars, and ours
mm-hmm.
is one. And it may be that the theft prevention system is improperly triggered in certain circumstances. And
yeah.
Anyway, it's a big freaking pain in the ass, and it's kind of driving me crazy. So I was thinking, since I have the day off on inauguration day, that I would take the car into the dealership and have them take a look at it.
Oh, well, that sounds very celebratory.
Well, that's what I'm celebrating. Celebrating? Yeah. You know,
mm-hmm.
it would be contrary to my anarchist principles to celebrate the inauguration of a new president.
Hmm. Right.
But
maybe you should blow your car up.
I've got a friend who happens to be a columnist at a prominent newspaper in Bloomington, Indiana,
mm-hmm.
having his first colonoscopy on Tuesday. So he said that for him, too, it is Inauguration Day.
Yeah, of a different sort, but yeah, that's...
He's inaugurating...
That's certainly a first to look forward to.
Exactly. He's inaugurating his
mm-hmm.
anus with a scope.
I guess he's one person who's already hoping that Obama doesn't get reelected.
I don't know. Actually, I think that he probably is quite fervent in hoping that Obama is reelected. But I guess we have to see how he actually performs.
Yeah, exactly. Or what's up his ass.
But surely it is quite a historic moment.
It is, and, you know, I would even venture to raise a toast to this new president and to optimism because, you know, I allow myself on occasion to be touched by the grace of optimism, if only to be reminded what it feels like. And I think that it's a good thing to have hope.
Grace of optimism.
So here's to that.
Well, I get drink to that.
Mm-hmm.
I see that my cup is empty. And yet,
oh, really? Mm.
Yes. And yet, I feel the need to, I feel like there's one or two more things that we need to unpack, not to draw this out in an unseemly fashion. But I will pour a little bit of brandy into my cup here.
Okay, you do that.
And join you in that toast.
Yeah.
To better days ahead.
Yeah, absolutely.
But,
we didn't catch any fish, by the way.
But you know why? You know what, the main reason that I voted for Obama was just to be able to tell my daughter 20 years from now, whatever, that I have.
Yeah.
I just thought that was kind of a historic moment, and
mm-hmm.
it'd be nice to participate in it. And... other than that, you know, what it is, you vote for the Green Party candidate. You know, I just couldn't get, that wasn't as exciting. as being able to say that I voted for the first African-American president, even though ultimately my vote didn't count because all of Louisiana's votes went to somebody else.
Well, I don't know. It's hard for me to. I really get irritated, frankly, with the argument about which votes count and which votes don't. I remember back in, what was it, 2000 when Al Gore was running for president against whatever. Oh, that Bush guy. And that was the year that Nader ran, I think, for the first time, certainly for the most sort of it seemed like it was the year where he caught some traction and
he ran.
You know, actually seemed to have some influence and that kind of thing. And I was still on the Rocks list, which is an email list that we that I used to be a part of that has been going on for, what, now probably 15, 20 years almost. There was a lot of discussion about that and a number of people who were quite angry that I would vote for Nader when there was no way that he could possibly win. And, you know, if you want your vote to actually count, you need to vote for one of the two-party candidates that have a shot at winning and blah, blah, blah. And it just I don't get the idea that, I mean, I understand the math. I understand the electoral college. I understand all that stuff. But I don't understand the attitude that your vote doesn't count in a situation where your candidate loses in your state, because then the same thing could be said nationally. Well, I voted for McCain, but my vote didn't count because he lost. Well, no, your vote did count, but he lost.
But your vote didn't count for him losing or winning. I mean, in other words, in a very real sense, you could have stayed home, and the outcome would have been just the same. Well, I guess what
I don't follow that. Yes, that's absolutely true. You individually could have stayed on, and the outcome would have been. What's that?
That was me trying to interrupt you. You're absolutely right. That was a logical fallacy, and I apologize for that. The frustrating thing, I think, is the winner takes all nature of how votes are apportioned in some states, but not all. For example, Maine and Nebraska, I think it's Nebraska, have chosen to apportion their electoral college electors proportionally, so that the whole state doesn't have to be a winner-take-all thing. And that's just seems a fairer way of doing it.
Right.
You know, I mean, I'm living in New Orleans, which is a huge Democratic voter base here. And if we had proportional representation, I think one of our electors for the whole state, we got like six electors in the state, I think one of them would have gone for Obama.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, none.
Yeah.
Instead, none. And you know what's really sad now that William Jefferson is our representative in Congress lost his seat to Joseph Gow. So now we have no African-American representatives in Congress, despite the fact that we're just about the blackest state in the Union, next to Mississippi.
Mm.
And I think just about the only state in the Deep South that doesn't have some black representatives up in Washington.
Well, yeah, that's, it sucks.
And it's very bizarre living in this area.
Yeah. Exactly. course, I don't live there, so I can only cheer you on in those sentiments, I suppose.
Yes, indeed.
Well, alrighty then.
We have finally probably said all that there is to say.
It's starting to sound that way. You know, there's always next week. You know, probably by that time, there will be some kind of horrible scandal that has gripped Washington, and we will have our hopes dashed on the reef of reality. But until then, it's always good to dream.
Here's to you. Thanks. I guess I will talk to you again later.
Right on. Take care.